Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s. And each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Charlie Batch in about 15 minutes. Can I ask him about Kenny Pickett's progress, Steelers wide receivers, and this Pickens thing? Tomlin got very animated. That was as heated as maybe I've seen him all year. Reminded me of when he got really perturbed by the USC, I'm going to go coach college football conversation. There's not a booster with a blank check big enough.
Never say never, but never.
Why isn't Andy Reid getting asked these questions? And then someone found an article a few years ago where Andy Reid was getting asked about the BYU job, which was pretty funny.
I believe Starkey sunk his teeth very deep into that whole thing.
You know, let me just one part of that that I think you can poke a huge hole in. You can take a spear and just jab it right through what he said there. He said, I'd like to think TJ Watt would like to put the quarterback down more. You know, like, you know, everybody wants to make the big highlight play.
T.J. Watt never sits there, like, fuming at his teammates.
But here's the difference, okay? T.J. Watt plays a position where, for the most part, occasionally he drops back in coverage. Rarely. He becomes a guy that has to defend a tight end or running back out of the backfield or, heaven forbid, a slot receiver. For the most part, see quarterback, hit quarterback.
Correct.
If T.J. Watt's not getting to the quarterback, that's on him. Mm-hmm. So that's why you don't see edge rushers lash out that way or freak out like that. You see players who are wide receivers who are dependent on others to get the ball. The quarterback has to make the decision to throw the ball to the guy.
The offensive coordinator has to make the decision to call a play that targets that guy with the first read.
Right, so that analogy doesn't really work for me whatsoever. You know, there is a small acknowledgement of immaturity in Pickens in that comment too, that we're working with him on the best ways to channel
I read that
energy.
I read that. So the most noteworthy things were the acknowledgement that yes, he cannot be throwing his helmet, kicking his helmet, screaming at people, having to get spoken to. I thought that here's my guess, and I don't know Tomlin at all. I don't have the A+ ironclad sources you do, but I do think that Mike Tomlin was pissed off about the way Pickens handled it, but he soft-pedaled that with what he said, because that was kind of the afterthought part of the quote. What he is saying inherently there, though, is I will handle this. I'm not worried about it because I can handle guys like George Pickens, and people would cite the way that AB only at the very end kind of lost his way completely here. That's a lot of confidence you're having in yourself and in your quarterback and in your offensive coordinator, all of you. You to manage the guy's ego and maturity and them to make sure he's getting the ball as much as he feels he should to keep this situation from becoming a lit stick of dynamite.
I also think he's flip-flopped on stuff like this before. I'll give you an example. The year that they started 11-0 and Juju was dancing on people's logos and he started to get asked about it, his first initial reaction was to basically tell the media to shut up about it. It's not a big deal. Juju's an expressive kid. He's a good kid. He plays hard. All those things. Basically lay off the guy or give one-word answers and just poo-poo the whole notion that he was doing something that was drawing the ire and providing bulletin board material for the other team. Mm-hmm. Then they started losing, and he was doing it. And Tomlin said near the end of that season, I'm going to have a conversation with him about it.
Von Bell hits him and he fumbles.
Yeah.
Guys get – yeah, I mean,
so
the results kind of dictated his response.
Right, so the Pickens thing, I take him at his word that he doesn't see it as a problem yet. Frankly, I don't see it as a problem yet. I don't see it. I think the – at least I can speak for what was in the four-hour serving of our show, like our package, our contribution to the narrative. Like, there's no, this guy's a cancer, this guy's a malignant player, this guy's a ticking time bomb. There's none of that with us. There's, look at where it happened. Look at how much the kid probably had invested in this game. And that's why he had an emotional reaction like he did to the game.
I'll add in, look at how good he is. You should be throwing him the ball more.
Exactly. But I do think it's fair to just say you file it away and you do wonder if it's going to, like, you don't think it's going to happen again. But if it does, you're going to remember this. And that's all. And for Tomlin to say the BS, I laugh at it, the silly narrative that's out there, the negative commentary. Like, I know that the Steelers PR people, they brief Tomlin on the things that might come up and the things that are being discussed leading up to his press conferences. They have people over there who keep track of what our shows do and what people write in the Post-Gazette and all that stuff. Mm-hmm. Might not be their sole job, but it comes with the territory. Mm-hmm. Like, I still am struggling to figure out what one of their PR minions could have put on Tomlin's desk to say, just, hey, Mike, so you're aware.
You think it was here? What if it was your tweet just saying, what did you make of George Pickens? And then there's a bunch of responses that are negative in there.
Those
aren't yours. Those are the fans responding to a question about a relevant, newsworthy story.
And I don't think Tomlin would give the fan reaction that amount of attention. Because when the fans wanted Pickett, and it was actually not a... Well, I guess you could make the case that it was affecting games. Just because Trubisky, the way that he reacted to that, the way that it might have affected him in games. And Tomlin was like, I love our fans so much, man. I love when that passion comes out. I love when people have
opinions
on things. Yeah.
Yes. Big takes. I think this much about this is true, too. Pickens, I think, could have done two things here that would have been an immediate red line for Mike Tomlin. We, to this moment in time, I have not heard from anybody that this happened. I have not heard that he went directly to Pickett and got in his face about this in any public way or private way. I've not heard anything leaking out that he and Pickett had it out in the locker room or that there was some ugly incident a la Johnson and Trubisky that we heard reported about. So he didn't do that. And then the much bigger red line for Tomlin is George Pickens, like, wasn't pissed off enough to go up to Mike Tomlin himself and be like, what the hell? I think if you show up the coach or you show up the quarterback like that or you get in their face publicly, different story. And he probably gets cussed out and benched for a while.
Charlie Batch is going to join us in 10 minutes. We'll get his take on this. At 4 o'clock, waiver claims come out. And Baker Mayfield is on waivers right now. A team can claim the Baker Mayfield contract. Mike Florio, who's going to join us tomorrow around this time, says he's got it on pretty good authority that the Rams are going to put in a claim and pick up Baker Mayfield. Matthew Stafford has a concussion. They're sick of watching John Wolford and Bryce Perkins play quarterback there, and tanking does them no good because the Lions have their pick. So it would make sense for them to give Baker Mayfield a spin here, to let him play a handful of games to see if they want to keep him around for next year, maybe as a backup. Who knows? But the morning show today, I saw this in their notes. The morning show today brought this up. If the Steelers are not going to bring back Mason Rudolph, which they won't, if Mitch Trubisky is going to demand a trade, his cap hit goes up, Steelers don't want to pay him that money, so they cut him or trade him for pennies on the dollar, would you consider bringing Baker Mayfield in next year to back up Kenny Pickett?
No. Don't think the person... I know that Steve Wilks gave him the old, he was a consummate professional through and through with us in his brief time with the Panthers. He did say that. He wasn't going to be the starter, wasn't going to be the backup. No. Baker Mayfield's personality strikes me as, I believe I am better than the guy that's the starter here, and I'm going to prove it. And if I am not given the starting job, I am going to be ticked off because I don't think that guy is as good as me.
Don't you think that situation exists with the Steelers right now?
With Trubisky?
Yes.
Yeah, but they didn't sign Mitch Trubisky to be the starter long term. They didn't pay him like that. I think Mayfield is
But
I think Mayfield's much more immature and much less, even though Trubisky, I'm sure, believes that, he's got a much bigger and longer held reputation as a good teammate. I don't think Mayfield has that necessarily. Do you?
No, I would say up until this year, he was immature, kind of foolhardy.
I think Mayfield self-sabotaged.
Vainglorious kind of guy who was so, very full of himself. And
well, I think he was insecure.
Couldn't
and
back
he,
it up.
And
yeah, that too.
If he hadn't tried to play through injury in Cleveland, he might still be there. Because I think that was part of what wrecked his time with the Browns. No, I man, when you if you are committed to your starter and that guy is a young player, you might not even know if he's going to be a superstar or anything like that. But if you're committed to somebody, you've got to get a backup that's just solid and isn't going to rock the boat. And I think Baker Mayfield doesn't check the second box and might not
check
the first.
You also have the cap luxury because your quarterback is on a rookie deal, though, to sign a pretty decent backup behind Pickett. I do think it's helpful to have a more of a veteran type
so
guy.
So Baker Mayfield's a number one overall pick in his past. Let's just...
Like the guy, for example, the guy we're going to talk to, was that guy...
Okay, but hold on. Let me
ask
you this.
For Ben, I mean, just a great...
But Baker's the number one overall pick not that long ago, still in his mid to late 20s. What if you sign him next year? What if in week three, Pickett goes out with like a high ankle sprain, like a bad one, keeps him out a month, and in those four games, Mayfield's balling.
Great.
And goes 4-0.
Great.
Then what?
Great.
Okay, on the fifth game when Pickett's ready to come back, who starts?
Well, Pickett does.
Why? If Mayfield puts up crazy numbers and goes 4-0, why would you go away from a former number one overall pick that you brought in? The talent would be there in theory.
Okay, but to me, if you're telling me the worst case scenario is that the backup's too good, like you're in the business of collecting the best players.
Okay, but what if what if in the course of the backup being too good, suddenly he, and I'm not saying this is likely, that I think it would happen, I don't, wins over the locker room. Mike Tomlin always has the pulse of his guys, and they say, listen, man, this dude's thrown nine touchdowns in four games
and been
great.
That would not deter me. The guy has an inflated belief in himself, an opinion of himself, and he plays okay or he isn't good, and he thinks he should be the starting quarterback and tries to undermine the starter. That's a problem. And I would not, up until this year, I would not have put something like that past Baker Mayfield. I think as a teammate, he scored points this year, but he didn't literally score points on the field, and that's why he got cut by a bad team this week.
I just think he would come into this situation potentially and say, wait a minute. Like, if it were next year, say Pickett's numbers look pretty pedestrian at the end of this year, he'd say, I've had a better year in the NFL, maybe multiple better years than this guy's ever had. Why shouldn't I be number one? Like, I just think that's how he's wired, man. I think you put him on Carolina, I think he knows that he's in, like, professional
but
hell.
I think you can convince him if something like that were to happen, dude, you just made yourself a lot of money.
Potentially.
Sit back and relax the rest of this year and someone's going to sign you if you ball out and go like 4-0 over a handful of games. Just chill. You just made yourself a ton of dough because people are going to see those things and bring up what you just did. You've won a playoff game and you've been a number one overall pick.
Man, I'm just wondering if Mike Tomlin would suddenly get swayed.
Well, didn't we hear, Donnie, that who was it? Mary Kay Cabot, who said the Steelers would love to get their hands on Baker Mayfield?
Thing.
Yeah, I mean, that was early on in the offseason before any of the other quarterback moves were made. But, yeah, they said the Steelers would basically take him the moment he got released.
I mean, isn't to
what
Tomlin...
But hold on.
But isn't he to what Tomlin just said? Isn't he I'd rather say sick'em than woe?
Yeah.
Well, I'd rather say woe than sick'em.
I'd rather say woe than sick'em, yeah.
But didn't we refute Mary Kay's report by, like, pointing out all the times Tomlin had, you know how he usually goes through the opponent that week and like says every single player is the second coming. Didn't he always like neglect to do that with Mayfield even when Mayfield was playing decently well? Like he would always focus on other dudes.
We know that they have a penchant for going after guys that have played well against them. And I would say overall Mayfield has played more bad games against them than good games. but he also beat them in the biggest game for both. So,
who's the crappiest player who happens to play well against them that they could go after as a result? Not even a quarterback, just some dude who's like a random crappy player who looks like
Blake Bortles.
A million, yeah. Bring Blake Bortles out of retirement for a nine-figure
Charlie
deal.
Batch joins us next.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice cold reward. Medela is the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.
Tomlin's takes, where we take 30 minutes of Mike Tomlin and just give you the very best of his press conference. If you missed it at noon today on The Fan, instead of sitting through 15 minutes on the Ravens, we'll give you just what you need. Album comes out. There's 12 songs in there, Chris. There might be two or three that chart that are hit singles. So that's what we do with Mike Tomlin at 4 o'clock. Tomlin's takes.
Nobody even thinks about the hit singles anymore. You just stream the song you want to stream.
Yeah,
man.
I haven't thought about that.
Man,
you're right.
I remember buying music when I grew up. The first CD I ever asked for, this is a classic example, was that stupid Chumbawamba
with
album.
The baby on it.
Yes.
Yeah.
I wanted one song on that CD, and guess what? The other 13 of them sucked.
How about when he had a cassette? Was the B-side just all crap songs, or would they sometimes sneak a good song on the B-side?
No, see, that was the thing. You could tell really good bands because their B-sides would sometimes become huge hits.
Yeah. Well, we have a ritual when we come into work during football season, and Donnie will go to YouTube, and he'll fire up old games. We'll watch retro vintage Steelers games.
Of that week's opponent.
To get in the mood, yeah. So we've been watching Steelers-Ravens games the last couple days. And Donnie, which game did you fire up today?
Today was 2013. They played the Ravens in Baltimore. Charlie Batch started the game after a rough game the week before. Led the Steelers to victory, a very memorable Heath Miller touchdown in the game. Charlie hit a block on a Jonathan Dwyer touchdown run.
Jonathan Dwyer!
And Sean Sweezum had the game-winning field goal.
And then a nice embrace between Charlie and Ben.
I think one of the most underrated Steelers-Ravens moments there. Shot of Charlie and Ben on the sideline.
Donnie, I am going to point out to you that what you just said is physically impossible. You said 2013. That was 2012 where this game happened.
Yeah, 10 years ago.
10 years, not 2013.
And
that was close.
Charlie is on the hotline right now. Charlie, anything from that game that we're leaving out that was memorable for you since you played it and started it?
Well, I think the one that really would have been interesting to see if Emmanuel Sanders would have scored on the pass over the middle, where he was trying to switch it from his right hand to his left hand, and ended up fumbling, and the Ravens recovered. It would have been really interesting to see if that one would have went for a 70-yard touchdown.
Is that your favorite moment from your NFL career, that game?
Yeah, I think it was obviously one of them, but of course starting that one and realizing that that could potentially be the last game that I ever have in my National Football League career. And just to be able to do that on the road against a division foe, that was something that was special and it always hold near and dear to my heart. And I think for a lot of other people, they saw that, but they a lot of people remember that embrace with Ben Roethlisberger at the end. And of course, the people who know me know I'm an emotional guy. I wear my emotions on my sleeves, and that was something that 20 million people saw me crying on national TV, and I'm okay with that.
Any keepsakes from that game that you still have?
No, to be honest with you, nothing. I didn't really keep anything from that game. I know my wife probably kept the ticket, if I'm not mistaken. But it's just, you know, those are things that she does in those memorable moments.
Are you a guy that's ever watched back a game like that? You just like to soak it all in? You say, I'll fire this one up. I've got the game on like my TV or on a DVD or Blu-ray somewhere, and you go back and watch any of those?
To be honest with you, I didn't, and I haven't watched that game since. You know, I see it every year only because of the highlights and people talk about it as we come up on this game. But I have not watched a single game, like a full game, from beginning to end since I've been done. And when you transition, you kind of remove yourself from who you used to be to where you're trying to go. And ultimately, that's kind of where I'm at, but never really look back.
Well, Charlie, this is probably not going to surprise you because you know me, but I have no life. So I've probably watched back in the last few years like 30 of your games. So I've got you beat. Okay.
I think the one that baffles me is the one I think it was a 2010 season against the Buccaneers.
Yes.
And for whatever reason, you know, when I threw three touchdowns and people, I think ESPN just started the QBR. And I think from that game, they were like, oh, this is the perfect game. And they gave me a perfect rating. And every year, everybody like, that's a perfect rating? And they would kill the ESPN stats. And I'm like, well, if you just asked me, I could have told you that if you just take away the first pass and the last pass, the rest of the game is beautiful. Those are my interceptions, the first pass and the last pass. So those are things that, you know, I kind of remember.
Charlie, I'm the opposite of Pony. I have, like, no long-term memory for this stuff, but I do vividly remember you cooking the Buccaneers in that game.
Didn't Kiesel have a touchdown that in that
was
game?
That was a particularly – Kiesel had an 80-yard interception. That's
what I thought.
To make it 38-6. I remember very vividly you cooking the Buccaneers in that one. That was pleasant to watch.
But that was a fun game. It was hot as I don't know what down there. The one memory for me is I remember the defense coming up with the turnover in the second quarter, and then immediately the next play I threw, I think it was a 41 or 43-yard pass to Mike Wallace, and it tips off the defender. We catch it, and we're all celebrating. We're coming to the sideline, and Casey Hampton runs up to me, and he's like, God dang. And I'm like, dang, what happened? He said, man, it's hot as hell. Y'all scoring too fast.
That's great stuff. We're talking to Charlie Batch. Charlie, Batch of Toys going on right now, the Best of the Batch Foundation. I saw the logo that you guys put out for it, and I'm like, there's two people in this logo. The other one looks like a cartoon Aaron Donald. Is it Aaron Donald? And I don't know if you've heard this, but I was actually invited to Aaron Donald's draft party. So the two of us go way back.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah, so, you know, they're doing a phenomenal job with this foundation, Aaron Donald Foundation, AD99. And we wanted to help them because they're doing things in the holiday season. We're doing the exact same thing. And we just wanted to collaborate this holiday season. And, man, Hikita, his sister, who's running his foundation, does a phenomenal job. And, you know, it's a great, great partnership that we have throughout this holiday season. So as we kind of embrace that, it helped increase our numbers to 250 families that we're adopting this year. And that will be well over 700 kids. And our goal is to collect over 8,000 toys. And we did it, had a phenomenal toy collection over the weekend with PTL and KDK up at Walmart in West Mifflin. And man, we had over 1,000 toys delivered, and it was a great start to the holiday drive. And we're just trying to do our small part to continue to put smiles on kids' faces during the holiday time. And if you wasn't able to be there, you actually can still contribute. If you go to batchfoundation.org, you can see all the drop-off locations that we have throughout the city. If you're not able to make a drop-off location, you actually can go to click and ship opportunities on our website, and those will ship directly to our foundation.
Well, that took the next question right out of my mouth. I was going to ask how, if people couldn't get involved a couple days ago, how they could, Charlie, but that's awesome and a great thing you guys are doing.
What is the website again?
Batchfoundation.org, and then there's the Batch of Toys link, right?
Yeah, batchfoundation.org, and you'll see a scroll. You'll see the screen scroll, and you'll see Batch of Toys. You just click that, and you'll be able to see all of the options that we have. So I just thank everybody who has approved, participated over the weekend. I thank all those who will be willing to donate, and I just want to thank everybody in advance for believing in what we're doing at the Best of the Batch Foundation. So thank you.
Charlie, I'll work backwards here from a football question. I'm sure you're expecting to ask, hey, what do you think of Kenny Pickett? But I'll go instead to, in that Ravens game, we were talking with you about Mike Wallace is one of your receivers in that game. There's guys maybe who wanted the ball, felt like, hey, I can help you. Come on, get me the ball, and I'm going to make a big play for you. How do you handle when a wide receiver is frustrated with a lack of a role, lack of touches in a given game? What was your best practice for that kind of situation? How did you see maybe Ben handle that in your Steelers career?
Yeah, you just try to keep everybody calm in that situation. And this is not uncommon. This is just a story because it was on national TV that everybody saw it. I wouldn't say national TV, but everybody saw the TV copy. And it's just one of those things that you see emotions of people going back and forth. And, man, there are a lot of receivers that have come up that I've played in. It didn't matter if it was Plexico Burress and Hines Ward and Santonio Holmes and Nate Washington. You've seen all of these things happen, but we were just able to handle it behind the scenes. Mm-hmm. And there'll be many a times that throughout the course of a game, I would go up to Ben Roethlisberger, and I would tell him as he's focusing on the game, and I'd say, hey, you do realize, you know, player X did not get a ball right now. We're in the second quarter. And he's like, oh, my gosh, I didn't even think about that. Okay, I'll try to go out there and get him a pass to get him more involved in the game. So those things happen. It's just a matter of who is doing it and who catches it. But I'm glad Cam Hayward went over and had a conversation with him, because I would much rather have a receiver who wants the ball versus one who shies away from it.
And how about the defensive guy being the person that goes over and talks to the player? He's the elder statesman. He's the captain. He's the leader of the team. But I guess it probably works that way now. The dynamics have changed because Ben's gone and it's a rookie. Wouldn't you say, Charlie, maybe a little bit for Kenny Pickett, he doesn't want to go over there and have
that
conversation.
Yeah, that's exactly – you hit it right on the head there. You know, Cam, obviously being a veteran, he's able to go over there and address it and help Kenny out in that particular manner, where Kenny will eventually get to that point, but he's trying to kind of, you know, keep everybody happy right now, because, all you know, what we don't see, you see the game plan – and what's going on, but what we don't see is the fact that what those whispers are in Kenny's ear from all the receivers or the eligibles that are saying, hey, you know, if we won this particular play, look for me. Even though the play might not be designed for that particular person, but those whispers are happening. And is that happening in the manner for Kenny? Absolutely it is. And he's just trying to do the best that he can to keep everybody on board, happy, and motivated to go. But, you know, that will continue to calm down. And once we see Kenny Pickett yell at somebody, you know the offense is completely his, because he's very comfortable where he is. Right now, he's not there yet.
Charlie, your time playing in your hometown was at a different point in your career than Pickens being a rookie. And I know Georgia, I think he's from Alabama, actually, but he went to school at Georgia. And we hypothesized that playing in front of what we figured were a lot of college teammates, maybe friends and family who went to Atlanta to see this game, might have been a reason why he was particularly angry and frustrated on the sideline. How much of a real thing is that, where guys, when they know they're playing in front of a home crowd or a hometown audience, are a little bit more keyed up in what they're trying to do?
That is an absolute real thing. And the night before Georgia's playing, I'm sure probably leading up to the game, he was texting some of his former teammates, and they're telling him, hey, we'll be either at the game or we'll be watching you. How many family members came in? So you knew he wanted to put on the best performance. It's no different than when Hines Ward went down there and we were there in 2006. He made it a point to say, I want to have a big game, which he did, because he knew family members were
Charlie,
watching.
That's one of the underrated great games in Steelers history. You went into that game, too, because Ben got knocked out against Vic. That was an all-time shootout. People remember the tie against the Falcons? That was a classic game.
It was. I mean, it was a really fun game to be a part of, because both teams were on fire. It was a high-scoring game. And I remember hitting Hines for a 70-yard touchdown. That's the one he ran out of his shoe with it. But you knew leading up into that game what he was looking to accomplish. I ended up throwing another touchdown pass later on in that game to him. So, of course, he was happy and caught a huge play to get us in field goal range. Unfortunately, Nate Washington, illegal procedure, and it was a 10-second runoff. We didn't get a chance to kick the field goal before regulation. We never saw the ball on offense in overtime because the rules were different.
Yep.
Atlanta went down, kicked the field goal. They won that game. But those are things that literally you get to the point where you are going home, you want to put on the best performance. And unfortunately for Pickens, it didn't happen.
Charlie, give us something in Kenny Pickett's game that you really like right now.
right now the game is slowing down for him. And as I'm watching him, and if you just go back and watch the fifth play of the game, he was ready to take a shot. And Deontay Johnson was were getting ready to run open. The TV copy never showed that. And they just, oh, man, what happened on this particular play? But if Freiermuth holds his block on the edge, it would have really been interesting to see if they would have completed that pass. And that would have probably been the longest touchdown of this season if that would have been completed. So from that perspective, I like where he's at as the game continues to slow down. And what I see, he's going from – it used to just be the first read. And if his first read wasn't there, he was looking to take off, maybe get to the second read. Right now, he's standing in that pocket, and he getting to the second, third, and in some cases, fourth read. If you start getting to that fourth read, that's when you start going from pretty good to pretty damn good. And that's kind of where we're at in this particular maturation process with Kenny Pickett.
He's got five games left this season, assuming he can stay healthy through all of them, Charlie, and they kept him upright for the most part in that game. No sacks for the Falcons. How much can we realistically expect people, you know, kind of waiting with bated breath every game, his development, to see Kenny Pickett? How different could he look five games from now versus what we saw on Sunday?
Well, I think this is going to be interesting how it plays out, because if he continues this trend of not turning the ball over, this offense is kind of getting to that 20-point average and the running game going in the manner that it is, hypothetically, I'm saying this right now, if he goes the next five games and doesn't turn the football over, it makes a strong case for offensive coordinator Matt Canada to be here in 2023. I know that's not what everybody wants to hear, but this is what we're looking at this point. And the reason why I say that is because you don't want to start over with the new offensive coordinator. Mm-hmm. It allows him to build on everything he's done over the last 9 weeks, assuming that this is the end of the season, and building on that in 2023 with the same offense that he's in.
And to be fair, Charlie, up until the last few weeks, just from watching you on KDK, I mean, you're not going to slam the guy, but you had some reasonable questions about Canada's offensive play calling, I thought.
Fair questions. Absolutely. I was just like everybody else. And I'm like, okay, what are we doing on the offensive side of the ball? So when you get to that point, and now it seems like that offensive line is starting to gel, and now he's starting to call the offense in the manner that he would have hoped that it was going to be like. Hey, all I could do is call a spade a spade. He's progressing. The offense is getting better.
And you love playing spades. This is coming full circle here, Charlie. Look at this interview.
It's coming full circle. And the one thing that I didn't like and that I still don't like in this offense is the jet sweeps. And that was something that I criticized from the time that he took over. Outside of that, where he is at this particular moment on where we are, all I can say is once we get to 500, we can evaluate this. And, of course, the conversation is going to change. But all I'm saying is Matt Canada's job is prevalent on how Kenny Pickett performs. If it goes downhill, then the question is going to be, yeah, we're going to get rid of Matt Canada. But also the flip side of that is going to say, well, is Kenny Pickett really the guy if we have a top pick? But now, if he continues to play well, now it increases Matt Canada's chances of being here. All I'm saying is, they are both tied hand-in-hand, quarterback and offensive coordinator.
Charlie, let me bring it full circle one more time. If you were Matt Canada, would your first offensive play in your little script for the Ravens game be a George Pickens touch?
You better believe he would be high up on the play chart as it relates to the top 10 that you're looking for the night before. And is ultimately going to depend on coverage, on whether Kenny Pickett changes and gets out of that particular pass play and now runs it. But I would say, the same manner a couple weeks ago, they got Deontay Johnson involved three of the first five plays. That could potentially what you see against with George Pickens.
Batch of toys. You can go to the website to continue to get involved with one of the best charities in Western Pennsylvania. It's batchfoundation.org, and very easy once you're there to find out how you donate and get involved in families' lives and making their Christmas and holiday season that much better. Charlie, you're one of the best. You're an all-pro off the field. How about that? You like that? You're an all-pro in life. And thank you for making a difference in Pittsburgh, Charlie, and coming out with us today. We loved it.
Thanks, Charlie.
Hey, I appreciate it. Thanks for having me, and I like that all-pro because I don't want to be known as that person that used to play football. It's about what we're doing in the past and the future, and I think this is something that, you know, with our Best of the Batch Foundation, we currently serve 3,800 kids annually. That number will now go to close to 6,000 kids annually in 9 counties. So we just appreciate everybody's support and belief in what we're doing at the Best of the Batch Foundation. So thank you, thank you, thank you.
You're the man, Charlie. Thanks, brother.
Thanks, Charlie.
Appreciate it. Thank you.
Well, see, I learned from my, you know, I was just going to get into the exuberance of football in general, but I learned when he said West Mifflin, I thought, you know, Steel Valley played at West Mifflin. Then I cut myself off because we knew what Westinghouse did in that game.
And you were rooting for Westinghouse.
I was. Well, I like the City League story.
You were loving Westinghouse.
I bet you there's a part of Charlie that was happy for Westinghouse too, though, even though it was over
but
Steel Valley.
But someone brought to my attention Westinghouse, maybe some shenanigans where they got a bunch of Central Catholic kids to transfer in there.
I saw that in one place, but that was the only place I saw it.
Where was that place?
I won't say. Is that the place you saw it?
I don't know.
Might be.
I had someone tell me that at a bar.
I didn't see it. I didn't have it told to me at a bar, but I feel like the person who told it to you at a bar might have read it the same place I read it, where it was just suggested.
Yeah, I was at Blue Sky last night, and someone brought it up to me that they were bringing in some kids from
Isn't
Central
Catholic.
Doesn't
it usually work the other way, where Central poaches the Westinghouse kids?
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.